Are you wearing the belt of truth? Learn what the belt of truth is today and why you should be wearing it on the Christian Wake Up Call.
Calling all sinners. It's time for your Christian Wake Up Call. Get a dose of biblical Christian truth for today's tough challenges. And now, here's your host, John Davison.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Christian Wake Up Call. I'm hoping you're living a blessed life in service of our Lord, and I hope you're having a wonderful day too. So this week we're continuing on with our series on the armor of God, and today we'll be discussing the breastplate of righteousness. So what is the breastplate of righteousness? This is another component in the armor of God that is used to be a resemblance between armor in the physical form to the spiritual form. And this week we'll be covering why righteousness is a breastplate, what is righteousness, and how do we wear this breastplate of righteousness. So we're going to take a quick break, so stick around, we'll be right back. Welcome back. So we're going to begin with, why a breastplate? What does righteousness have to do with the breastplate component of the soldier's armor? A breastplate basically protects our body from attack. It protects our heart, it guards it, as well as other essential, you know, bodily organs, intestines, stomach, you know, it's all in our central body. And that's what the purpose of the breastplate is. Typically, a breastplate is a solid, strengthened piece of metal, conforms to the torso of the body. So what does this breastplate have to do with righteousness then? You know, most people, we don't see it. It's just a symbolic representation. So a breastplate protects us from, you know, those fatal, devious blows to the heart. Well, like a breastplate being covered in God's righteousness protects our vital areas of the body from the devil, from his attacks, his deception, his lies. And if we go back and look at Ephesians 6:14, we see that it tells us to stand firm, therefore, in having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The combination of the two, the truth holds down the breastplate and stabilizes our righteousness. It keeps it in place. So between the two, we are able to stand firm against the attacks of the evil one, against the deceptions, the lies, anything that the devil throws at us. We need to be able to stand our ground, stand firm in place. And the combination of breastplate and the belt of truth allows us to do that as Christians spiritually. So we stand our ground, protected by God's righteousness, held firmly in place by his truth, the truth of his word. So we can see not only are the components independent pieces, but they're also built upon each other too. Paul's very deep with this, even though it seems so simple when we look at it at the surface. But without God's righteousness, we would never be able to stand our ground against Satan and his lies and the deceptions of the evil one. We'd be vulnerable. Our righteousness doesn't exist as far as Satan or God is concerned. It's so insignificant that it's nothing. And we will talk about that probably a little more later. But yeah, it's amazing what God's righteousness given to us, not our own righteousness, can do against the battle against evil. Whether it be through our faith, defending the truth, anything that involves us standing our ground, we have the righteousness of God behind us. And that's how Paul relates it to the breastplate. We are protected by God's righteousness, just like we would be as a knight or a Roman soldier protected by the breastplate from physical attacks. And without it, we're exposed, we're vulnerable, we're weak, we're easy to pick off because we're not protected. There's nothing to keep the devil or anyone acting in his behalf from doing harm to us because we don't have anything standing between us and them. Which is why being within Jesus and being with God and protected by him is so critical to being able to survive as a Christian, and especially in today's world where people just don't want to believe and deny it and do everything they can to resist God and deny him. Despite what evidence they see, they decide they're going to interpret it how they want. They're going to create their own rules around the world and how they interpret it instead of looking at the whole picture. Anyway, that's why it was the breastplate of righteousness. I think once you think about it and see it, you can understand why it was picked to be the breastplate. But beyond that, we're going to talk about righteousness next. So we're going to take a quick coffee break here, and then we'll be right back. So stick around. Welcome back. So now we know why Paul used breastplate to represent righteousness, or God's righteousness, in the armor. Let's talk about what exactly righteousness is, at least according to the Bible and God's word. And first, we'll look at what the dictionary has to say, according to Webster. And this is what Webster records righteousness as: acting in accord with divine or moral law, free from guilt or sin, morally right and justifiable. Which seems pretty accurate, even from a biblical sense. But let's look at some of what the Bible has to say. And one of them is in Proverbs, righteousness is basically the path of life, or to life. In Proverbs 12:28, it says, in the way of righteousness, there is life. And in its path, there is no death. So righteousness leads to life, according to Solomon's Proverbs, which most of them were actually recorded by King Hezekiah later. So God is morally divine. He is free from all guilt and sin. He is morally right or justifiable. This is God's righteousness. It's perfection. He doesn't sin. He doesn't lie. He doesn't mislead us. He is righteous in all that he does, and we can tell that his righteousness also leads us to life, whereas we follow away from it, we fall into death. And part of God's promise is eternal life to us if we follow and believe in him. So far, this is consistent, I think, with the Bible and everything else that we've covered to this point. But what do we think of our righteousness? Why can't we be righteous? Well, the Bible is pretty clear what God thinks of our righteousness. It's just disgusting compared to his. Let's look at Isaiah 64:6. For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment, and all of us wither like a leaf, and our wrongdoings, like the wind, take us away. So if we're relying on our righteousness, it's a surefire path to death. Our righteousness is so weak and disgusting, it's not even close to being what we can call true righteousness. So that's why we have to rely on God's righteousness, not our own. And even Paul tells us this in his letter to the Romans, in Romans 3:9-12. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. As it is written, there is no righteous person, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks out God. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is no one who does good. There is not even one. None of us are good. We may think we're good by our own standards, but our standards are so low that we can't comprehend what true goodness is even anymore. I mean, from the very beginning, the first opportunity we've gotten, we've sinned. From the moment after creation was completed, we've sinned one after the other, whether it be Eve being deceived by the devil, or Adam willingly defying God and eating the fruit too. And even the firstborn, both of sin, Cain murdered his brother, and then lied to God about it. So, without God in our lives as our focus, we are inherently disposed to sinning and lying and deceit and all that is unrighteous. So to say that humans are good, I think history, we look at everything societies have done and have wars and everything else over the years, we know we are not good people. We are not righteous by any stretch of the definition. But yet, when we turn to Jesus, we turn to God and believe and trust him, we can don his righteousness. We can be credited with his righteousness. We see it with Noah in 7:1 when he entered the ark. He was treated as righteous. He was the only righteous man considered left on earth, which is why he was allowed to live and survive the flood and start the race over again. We look at Abraham, God's friend. Abraham in Genesis 15:6, he was credited with God's righteousness because of his faith in him. So like truth before, we can only don God's righteousness in God's armor. It is all him. It is all the Lord's righteousness, his truth, his works to protect us. It has nothing to do with us other than us deciding to have faith in our Lord. So that pretty much summarizes what I believe righteousness is. I hope this was enlightening for you. But we're going to take a quick break here, and then we're going to move on to discussing wearing the breastplate. So stick around, we'll be right back. And welcome back. So up to this point, well, we've talked about why Paul chose to use a breastplate to resemble or symbolize righteousness in our spiritual armor from God. And then we talked about what righteousness is biblically and how we are credited with it, but we are not righteous in our own right because we have all sinned and we have all fallen short of the glory of God. Now that we know this, how do we put on the breastplate of righteousness? How do we don God's righteousness in our lives? How do we get credited with it? And the first thing we have to remember is we are not righteous at all. We are evil. We are sinful beings who turn to God to save us. So we have to accept that we are not worthy, but God will credit us with his righteousness anyway, which is huge. It's strictly by God's grace and nothing that we can do that we can be righteous in his eyes, covered in his righteousness. So for those of us who do believe and trust in God, we can be credited with his righteousness. And that means believing and trusting in God and knowing his word. How well do we know his word? Do we continue to learn his word? Do we trust what he's telling us? Are we putting our faith in him, which we will talk about in a couple episodes here coming up? But ultimately, it is about us focusing on being what God wants us to be, following God's path, not our own, staying focused, trying to avoid falling, repenting when we do, always keeping our love for God ahead of everything. So that's one critical component to being deemed as or credited with righteousness in God. Second, we gotta remember we are not righteous at all. Our righteousness is dirty rags before God. We have all sinned, we have all fallen short, and because of that, we can never be right in God's eyes. Not without a Savior, not without somebody like Jesus who paid the penalty for our evil ways, our bad decisions, our sin, our disobedience. Yet that's exactly what God did. He sacrificed Jesus, his son, him, himself. He came down to earth to be one of us, to show us the proper way to live, that we can live life without sinning if we truly understand what is his intent and meaning and have true love in our hearts. And it's by God's grace that we are saved, that he gave his only begotten son. And it is through this repentance of ours that we can be made clean in Jesus, that we accept Jesus as Lord, acknowledge his sacrifice on the cross for us, and being reborn again new in Christ. That's how we get credited with righteousness. We become new creations. We are reborn as new beings. Our old ways are gone. Our evilness, even though we're still transforming, it is not who we are anymore. It's an abomination to us. And that's part of what we talked about back in the fruits of the Spirit, that those transformations that change in who we are, that allow us to know that we are in God, that we are focused on God. He is part of us. He is our main being, our main reason for existence. He is the center of our lives. So ultimately, being able to don the breastplate and be righteous through God is to turn away from Satan, to turn away from this misleading ways of the world, even though they don't even realize that's what they're following, and giving our lives to Jesus as our Lord and Savior, who came to this earth as a human, suffered with us, bled for us, gave his life to pay the penalty of our wicked ways so that we, by the grace of God, can repent and turn back to him. So that kind of summarizes up the breastplate of righteousness, how to wear it, what it is, what it means, what righteousness is. So we'll close out when we get back here, but I'm going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back. So stick around. And welcome back. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I hope you feel blessed by it, that maybe you even learned a thing or two. But I believe being properly trained and ready as Christians is essential, not only for being able to share the gospel itself, but also to stand strong from the attacks that we're going to receive, because Satan is going to attack us. He attacked Jesus himself. He tried to convince him in the wilderness. So if Jesus is in play, we have to expect to be in play too. And as Christians, we shouldn't be hiding from it. We should be standing strong. And that's what the armor of God is really about. Building the foundation to allow us to stand strong, to share the gospel, to not be torn down by every little thing that gets thrown at us. And today we covered the breastplate of righteousness, how it relates to being a breastplate, why it's a breastplate in Paul's analogy, what it means to be righteous in God or to have God's righteousness, and how do we protect ourselves with the righteousness of God? How do we don it? How do we become righteous through Jesus? So, again, I hope you enjoyed the episode. I really am thankful for all those that are listening. And again, thank you for joining me today. If you enjoyed the episode, I ask that you subscribe, like, share, and review. Next week, we will be discussing the shoes of the gospel. So you won't want to miss that. And remember always, live for your Lord.